Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, on to hour number two here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today. Nick Keyser back behind the glass producing, as always. Chase McKay will rejoin us on Wednesday, and we will be at full strength. But we are at full strength at the moment because we have TD, Teron Davenport, who is presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. Teron joins us every Monday at 11. So Teron was on hand, looking sharp, I might add, at the Titans' home preseason opener. Teron, good to talk to you as always.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm upbeat, Teron. I'm sure as you are because of the Mets' comeback victory yesterday. A crazy game.
You got to work the Mets in.
I got to work them in there with Toronto because we got a special thing going on right now. We've got the Subway Series going tonight. Yankees-Mets at Yankee Stadium. So Toronto's bragging rights on the sidelines the next couple of days at practice. There's a lot on the line here, Toronto. There's a lot of Yankee fans lurking in our midst who cover the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Between Paul Kaharsky and Terry McCormick, it's always good to be able to rub it into those guys. You know, they are Yankee fans, and I'm a Mets fan, so we had a little rivalry going.
Yep, and so no worse than a split in the season series because the Mets won the first two games, but the next two are at the Yankee Stadium. We'll see if the rain holds off tonight. But, Teron, let me start with this. You asked a number of really good questions yesterday, I thought, to Mike Vrabel. I want to ask you he kind of gave you a hard time. He actually, I could tell, he thought it was a good question, and he sort of came back around to it. But
it was a good question.
You asked, well, I think Derek wants to ask maybe about the offensive side of the ball, but I want to ask you about the defensive backs and who's playing, who needs to play. And let's start with Caleb Farley because he's a fascinating guy. I mean, you can see when he's moving around out there, the length, the acceleration, you see what made him a first-round pick. But as you pointed out, he hasn't played a lot, so he kind of needs to play. And right now, he is playing a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think we kind of forget that this is a guy that has only played, 26 games at cornerback, you know, and three in the NFL. So there's still a lot of patience that you have to have and a lot more development for him just as a player. And I think that's something to keep in mind. So it is good that he's continuing to play the way he has been. And, you know, even though he's playing like into, you know, the third quarter, he had the most snaps out of any corner. So I was curious about that. And I think really it is just a matter of getting him as many reps as possible.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans in their past game this weekend with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, one guy, staying on the defensive side of the ball, one guy that did, that has continued to show out is Tyre Tart. I mean, that big fella, he's playing. I mean, he's clogging up holes. He's getting in the backfield. You know, he's I guess having Jeffrey Simmons in that room with you does benefit a lot because I see him using some of those moves that Jeffrey uses. And this big fella is getting in the backfield, and he's making a name for himself.
Yeah, he really is, and I'm glad that he's doing that. You know, a fellow Philly guy, you know, doing this thing, I definitely appreciate that. But just watching him, it's interesting the progress that he's made because he's gone from a guy who was on the ground a lot, you know, as a rookie to now where this dude is in the backfield quickly. I mean, there were some times he grabbed Luke Gedecky and destroyed him and then quick swim move over to center and he's in the backfield, tackles for loss. I've been impressed with him, and even with the D-line coach, Terrell Williams, he said that he just wanted to see it more consistently, and I think Tart has shown to be a consistent player, and he's cemented himself as, you know, in my opinion, second to Jeffrey Simmons as far as, you know, that interior side of things against the run.
Now, let's move over to the offensive side of the ball. You did ask a really good question, and you know, Vrabel's answer, I understand why he gave the answer, but come on, be honest. I mean, you can find ways to get Treylon Burks the ball.
Right.
Because to me, when you allow a guy to just, you know, he was right. You don't want to tell the quarterback to throw it, who to throw it to, but you do want to set up plays where you can get the ball in this man's hands very quickly, whether it be a hitch, a quick slant, or a smoke route. And the Titans, it just seems like they haven't done that.
Yeah, and that's the thing because preseason, right, you're not necessarily game planning against the opposing team as much as you're game planning on ways to get your guys in situations to see what you want to see from them. And I think with Burks, you want to see what he could do with the ball in his hands. Jet sweeps, quick screens, as you said, hitches, those type of things. Get the ball to him quickly and let him make something happen. And you know, I mean, as receivers, you got to get involved early. You know, that's the one way to get a guy to really check in, get him involved early, and you can get into a groove, and then you can really see what he could do. And I thought that they need to do a better job of that, you know, and for whatever reason, it's not happening. Now, I will say this. There were times where he was open, and, you know, Malik Willis didn't get him the ball. You look at that play right before Willis made the beautiful throw and pocket presence to Chig Okonkwo for the touchdown. You had Burks coming across. He was coming open on a crosser, and that probably would have been a big catch and run, but, you know, Willis wasn't able to get him the ball.
Yeah, and those are the things I think, Teron, that, you know, the quarterback has to understand, because I know exactly which play you're talking about, and Will and I talked about it. He looked at Traylon, pumped it, hesitated, and then threw it, I think, to Haskins on the sideline.
Yeah.
Those are situations where he and Traylon Burks and, you know, the offensive coordinator need to get on the same page. Like, listen, if he's open, throw the ball. Just throw it and allow him to go get it.
Yeah.
But another guy that I'm really interested in is Kyle Phillips. I think this guy has already won himself a spot on his team from a return standpoint. But he is showing that he could be a valuable asset. He can be your go-to guy on third down in a slot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's something that stood out when they do those hurry-up periods. I mean, there was one time where Ryan Tannehill went to him, what, 2-3 times in a row in those hurry-up periods. And, in fact, I haven't seen a single period where Tannehill didn't go to him at least once, you know, during practice. So that tells me he's already got the trust of the quarterback. And once you get that, you know, you're home free. You know what I mean? So I agree. He's definitely cemented himself a role. And for him, you know, it's just he's sure-handed. He's always where he needs to be. So it's easy to trust him. And that's really how he's been able to, you know, cement himself as a guy that kind of, you know, Tannehill's going to look for.
Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works. And TD, I want to ask you about the two new defensive backs that the Titans went out and got, some guys that have a little bit of experience. I noticed Lonnie Johnson Jr. the other night. I like his length. He's a little bit like Farley in that respect. He's got a little size to him, and I guess he's got some versatility as well. Where do you see these two guys fitting in?
Yeah, Lonnie Johnson Jr. is interesting. I liked him. It was Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I remember he was, a pretty feisty corner. Long, like you said, pretty solid in press, but they wanted to get him at safety. So you get some versatility there. And you know, he came right in first practice. He had an interception. It was a tip pass by Shaheem Carter. But I think that versatility that he brings, you know, when you have a long guy like that that has cornerback skills, you know what you could do with him. Put him against move tight ends. And that's what they like to do with Dane Cruikshank, you know, and that's kind of where Theo Jackson was going to go towards before he had his setback that has kept him out of practice a couple of days. So, yeah, that's a good acquisition there, and especially be able to get him for as little as they did. Was the other one, was it Tyree Gillespie that you mentioned? Or
yeah. Who's that? They traded with the Raiders. They gave up a pick.
Yeah, that's Tyree Gillespie. And, you know, one thing that you can't coach is length and speed. And this was a 4-3 guy coming out. So that's definitely going to help. He had one where he came down off the post and he got a pass breakup that I was really impressed with. So that little competition there with Theo Jackson, A.J. Moore, Tyree Gillespie, Lonnie Johnson Jr., it's going to be interesting. And Josh Kalu's in the mix, too. And Kalu had a good game on Saturday, by the way. Forced fumble, a couple PBUs as well.
And before we throw it back to Derek here, what do we know anything about Elijah Molden? This is now going on a good while where we have not seen him at all.
Yeah, he practiced in one of the joint practices he took part in, and then we didn't see him in the game. He didn't suit up there. I don't know if him not suiting up for the game is as injury focused as it is. Okay, you know what you got in him. You don't need him out there. But I definitely am going to monitor that. We have a practice at 1:30 that we'll get to see. So I'll be looking for 24 out there. And I'm telling you, man, Roger McCurry is pushing a lot of folks. So, you know, I would imagine that he wants to be out there to go ahead and practice. That way he can make sure that nickel spot continues to be his.
Now, TD, can the Titans just, you know, move past this project thing with Dylan Raitens? I watched the guy. Basically the whole game, and it wasn't good. He's okay at run blocking, but he's horrible, and I mean horrible. And I usually don't say that about guys, but he is horrible. Whatever they're teaching him in the classroom, it's not translating to the field. And he has shown that he's not ready. He cannot be a part of the 53 or 54 man roster that they put together at the end of the season. There's no way, by the way he's played.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think he could be a reserve, but I agree about not being a starter. Right now, it just doesn't seem to be there. And one of the big things last year, you know, everybody complained about not being able to throw the ball down the field. And it wasn't as much not having deep threats and Tannehill not having the ability to do so as it was him not having the time to do it. Right? Mm-hmm. So here we are, you're in a situation where your right tackle is a guy that, you know, has struggled in pass pro, so you're not going to be able to do it this year unless you figure some things out. So I agree with you. It's really, I don't know what's gone wrong as far as Raiders is concerned and why it's such a struggle, but you're 100% right. You know, there were a couple pass rushes where Carl Nassib was able to, you know, get some pressure, make Willis have to step up and into a sack on one occasion, then another time it was a hurry, and that's something that they're going to have to get together, and if it doesn't click for him soon, then, yeah, I think Nicholas Petit-Ferrer will end up being a right tackle, or they better go get somebody else.
Yeah, he really did struggle, no question. Teron, great stuff, as always. Let's go Mets, and we'll talk to you again. We'll see you on the field here in a couple of days. We'll be back at a training camp.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's go.
All right, Teron Davenport, always a great presence on our station. You can hear the podcast Talking with TD. You hear him on all of our shows. He is presented by CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. We're going to build on the right tackle discussion that Derek just threw out there. He went pretty extreme in his evaluation of Dylan Raitens. And where is the rookie, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer? Somebody's got to play right tackle, and where does that leave the depth as well? That's the other question. That might be the biggest question that the offense has right now. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. We'll hit on it on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. And remember, you can always watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Issues at right tackle for the Titans. We'll get to that in a moment, but D-Mates, there is breaking news, kinda. This is not going to surprise really anybody, I don't think, but the Panthers have named Baker Mayfield their starter for Week 1, which had been trending for the last couple of weeks. Whatever thoughts that people had that maybe Sam Darnold could hold him off, that went out the window pretty quick.
I mean, if you thought Sam, anybody that actually thought that Sam Darnold was going to get the starting spot over Baker Mayfield, you don't know football, or you just hate Baker Mayfield. Because, again,
oh, you were arguing just because you were bored in the summer.
Exactly. Oh, he's just getting there. He's not. This kid, he's going to pick up on the offense just fine. He'll be fine. Listen, Baker is a really good quarterback in this league. Regardless if you hate him or not, he's a really good quarterback in this league. Cleveland was nothing before Baker Mayfield got there, okay? And he made them relevant. This guy's a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, this kid can play. You may not like his attitude, but the kid can play. Flat out.
Okay. And that's an interesting division, too, especially when you get beyond the Bucks.
It's kind of their own problems now.
Yeah, they just lost another lineman, unfortunately, Stinney. If you were watching the Titans game, you might have seen the injury. You know, nothing dirty or anything like that, but he tore a couple ligaments in his knee. So that's two offensive linemen that the Bucks have lost for the season. That is tough to overcome for sure. Now, speaking of offensive linemen, let's get to what you said a minute ago to Teron. You are getting to the point where you don't believe Dylan Raiden. And you've said this before, that you were worried early in camp that it wasn't an issue of, hey, he just hasn't gotten there yet. You're worried that this is one of those things where he just flat out can't play. He's not an NFL player. Mm-hmm. And so this didn't help at all on Sunday or Saturday, because even a regular observer, I put myself as a trained football observer, but not a guy with an insight to the game. But when you watch time after time, his man consistently beat him in pass protection one time after another. His back was turned the wrong way. He just was getting beat badly over and over.
It was hard to watch because I watched the game just watching it as a fan and just picking out some things. But then I wanted to go back and watch it again. I watched it yesterday again. And I wanted to specifically watch Nicholas Petit-Frere and Dylan Raitens, both of them. I wanted to see how they played together. And, when Nicholas was in, at first, Raitens wasn't in at the, I think, left tackle. But eventually, they put both of them in at the same time. And I was surprised, too, that Taylor was in there for a while.
Yeah, they let Luan play a couple of series, and they started Petit-Frere at the right tackle. Then when Luan rotated out, they moved Petit-Frere to left tackle, and that's when they put Raiden's in at right tackle.
Yeah, and I watched both of them. I just went back and watched, especially the first half when Willis was in the game. And one, Nicholas Petit-Frere, third-round pick, this kid can play. It's going to take him a minute to come up, but you see it in him. Like, he got dog in him. You know he can. He just need to get some things, need to figure the NFL out, some more coaching. But this kid got dog in him. He can play. Dylan Raitens, he doesn't have dog in him. It's like he was out there sometimes trying to figure out what to do. Guys were going around him. It wasn't like these defensive linemen were making like these elaborate moves to get around them. It was just one step, boom, boom, and go. Again, whatever they're teaching him in the classroom is not translating to the field. This guy, he shouldn't, especially because they're going to give him another opportunity this third game. If he doesn't make up for it, if he plays the same way he played this past game, there's not a place for him on his team.
Not even as a backup.
Not even as a backup. Okay. Because you're only one guy away from him being your left tackle or right tackle. Because I truly believe that Nicholas Petit-Frere will probably end up possibly starting, and they'd do a lot to protect a young guy. But Dylan Raitens, if he has to come into the game, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
If he has to come into the game, you better double team his side. You better put somebody over there to help him, because Ryan Tannehill will get knocked upside the head two or three times a game with him in there. He's not ready. He shouldn't make this roster. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, see,
Now, I'm not saying he won't make another roster, but the way the Titans are trending, where they're going, where they hope to go with the players that they have, he shouldn't make this team.
Okay, couple of factors here. Does it help Raiden's that they don't appear to have a lot of depth? Jamarco Jones, who they brought in to compete for one of these spots but be sort of that utility guy, we haven't really seen him much because he got hurt and he hasn't been in there. So he's in the mix here somewhere as at least a backup. But you really need those extra guys. I don't see a lot of them. Whereas last year they had Brewer that you could put in there. Now you're counting on Brewer pretty much to be the starter at left guard, which it looks like he's got that fairly solidified. So when you're saying Raiden shouldn't be on the roster, I think I would agree with you 100% if they had some more depth sitting there, but I don't see much depth. So he doesn't cost that much against the cap. So I feel like that's kind of extreme to say he won't be on the roster, but I see what you're saying, because I keep going back to something you suspected before, and I've seen this in my day in different sports. When a young player is playing and he's drafted at a certain level, you get benefit of the doubt. You're saying, hey, you know, he'll come around. We drafted him in the second round. I think he can get there. This is what we saw in him when he was in college. He can get there. But there's also this sense that with the weeks that go by, when you don't see the progress, somebody's challenging you and saying, hey, look, I know you drafted him in the second round, but if he weren't drafted in the second round, would he still be here? And the answer might not be what you want to hear. He just may not be good enough.
And Willie, we've worked together long enough. Because I understand what it takes.
Yeah, and you want to see this guy succeed.
And I want to see him succeed. So it's not like I don't get on here and just bash guys just to be bashing guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, listen, this league's hard, man. It is. But if I'm watching, and I'm watching the same film that the coaches are watching and your counterparts are watching, if I'm looking at and I'm seeing what I saw yesterday and I'm seeing some of the things in practice and I'm seeing you couldn't even, you know, get on the field last year as a second round pick, in my mind, I'm thinking like this guy's not, he's not, he can't cut it for us. Yes, we drafted him in the second round, but we just got rid of a first round to redraft it. In Washington, was it Washington, the offensive tackle?
Oh, Isaiah Wilson.
Wilson.
Good grief, yeah.
We just got rid of Wilson. So we should get rid of you too, because you haven't proven that what we're teaching you is translating. You're doing the things that we're asking you in the classroom to do. You're doing it on the field. You're not. You're just not physically, you're not physically equipped at this particular time to be on our team.
Now, when you
not
say
to this, say that you won't be.
Well, that's the question. How long do we keep him around?
How long do we hold on to him?
That's the question. Would you keep him another year as a sort of developmental guy?
No, Willie, you said it right. If this is a 7th-round pick or a 5th-round pick, he's not here. I'm telling you that. He's not here because he hasn't proven that he's capable of winning one of those spots on the offensive line. We drafted a guy this year that's better than you already. And if we had to go game one, we would go with him instead of you.
So is offensive line the biggest concern for you right now?
It has to be. You got three guys on that offensive line right now, I believe. Well, two, let's say Taylor and Ben Jones. Those are two guys you can count on. Those are two guys that are going to be there for you.
But you wouldn't put Nate Davis in
there?
Nate
Davis is another, yes. Yeah. So those three guys, you know. But those other two, you're hoping. Don't be surprised if there's a move made by John Robinson before the season starts.
To find another guy.
Because you still, even if Fair does end up being your starter, you still need a veteran guy. You still need somebody just in case he gets hurt or something. You still need a guy.
But you like him, though.
Oh, I like him. As a prospect. Yes, I like him. From what I've seen, he has all the physical tools, and you see that once he gets some more experience, he's going to be all right. You don't see that from Dylan Raiden's. You just don't. And I don't care what nobody tells me. If I watch the film again next week and this shows up again, if he's not cut, I'm like, what's going on? Like, are you just keeping him because he was a second-round pick? I don't know. And
so you've
again,
seen enough.
I want
he's
this
just
kid,
not an NFL
exactly.
lineman.
I want this kid to be able to say, hey, listen, I play in the NFL. I want him to go out there and do what he needs to do. But it comes a point in time, like, if you don't have the talent, you just don't have the talent to play at this level.
When we come back, we will switch gears. We'll talk quarterback. We'll talk Malik Willis, and we'll see what Derek thought about the good, the bad, the development of the young quarterback. Interesting guy. We'll tell you about it when we come back. This is Chase Willie and D. Mace on 102.5 The Game.
Thing that, you know, obviously that stood out was, you know, we were able to rip a timing route in there to Nick early in the game, which is something that he didn't do last week. And we worked on it in practice, and it was cool to see him be able to hit that. And maybe you can kind of see how the whole process works, the play pass, the timing of it, and, 21-yard gain. Other things that we still have to, and we still want to be able to work on. The operation you know, at the line of scrimmage, the command. I just think it's tough to run, you know, talk to him about running out of the back of the pocket. And there's times where he's going to take off and make plays and protection breaks down and he's going to shrug guys off. And he did that. Found Dez. Found Hassan. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially our quarterbacks. And just, you know, you run out of the back of the pocket in this league, these guys are coming. So we'll continue to coach him and his pocket presence and being able to keep his eyes downfield. And, you know, it's such a fine line. But just look at the beginning part of the game and the one, you know, timing pass that we needed to complete and wanted to see him do, he did it. So, you know, we at least made some progress there. You know, and then we'll continue to work on some of the other stuff.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Remember, you can call or text us on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'd love to get your comments, questions for Derek Mason on the Titans. We'll try to get to him as much as we can. We do want to take a little time to talk about Malik Willis here. Very interesting stuff. I thought the number one, I wrote some notes down. Derek, I want to hit you with a couple of things that I saw, but the number one thing I took out of that for Mike Vrabel is one word, and that is command. Mm-hmm. There is certainly a what you want to see from your quarterback when you know he understands everything is command. I love the makeup of Malik Willis, and you can see what he's going through right now, the extreme learning curve that he's under, going from Liberty and Auburn. Actually, it was interesting. He mentioned he had actually played in the Music City Bowl in the stadium at Nissan Stadium when he was still at Auburn. He said he got a couple of series. It was a total blowout. Remember, they blew out Purdue.
Yes.
He actually got in the game. I didn't realize that. So it was not his first time at Nissan Stadium. But he's got a lot that they're throwing at him right now. The coaches understand it. I love what they're doing with him. But I still stick to what I have, I think, is a reasonable goal. And that is, I'd love to see him become the backup next year. That would be great progress, just because I see a lot of different things that he's struggling with right now, but I love how he's handling it. I love how he's going through it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing exactly what they're asking him to do. He's, you know, incrementally getting better. You would like him to take these huge, giant steps, but you know that, hey, listen, this kid, he has all the physical tools, but it's going to take him a minute. As long as we, you know, get him to, you know, make steps forward every day, then that's a win for us and that's a win for him. If he starts taking steps back, then we need to reevaluate, you know, him as a player or how we are coaching him. But I think, you know, from, you know, the first day of camp to now, I think he has made strides. Now, has he made strides enough that he is the backup, that you would consider him the backup quarterback? I don't think he has, but, you know, then you got to start playing these, you know, the roster game.
Yeah,
you know?
And we're going to get to that exactly in the next segment, because I think it's a really interesting question. But let's focus. Here's one that I saw, just for example. I said to myself, okay, we know he can run. Uh-huh. And that you can tell that they have tried to drive that into his head. We know you can run. Mm-hmm. We want to see you go through the progression, stick in that pocket as much as you can. The running will take care of itself, but don't look to run too quick. I see sometimes, too, there is an art, and Steve McNair was one of the best I ever saw at it, where he steps up in the pocket. He could run, but he's still thinking, I can hit the guy down the field, too. Mm-hmm. I see a little bit more Marcus Mariota, where once he makes the decision, he's putting his head down and he's looking to run. He's not keeping his eyes up. And there's some times where I think he's got guys he can hit down the field if he can get to that. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I don't think he truly trusts what he sees at this particular time. And that will come with more reps, more defenses you see, more time you have to prepare, you know, moving forward. But I don't think he truly trusts what he sees. What he trusts is his ability to get outside the pocket and try to make a play that way. He doesn't trust completely at, you know, okay, he may not be open right now, but you can throw him open. For instance, the play after, I think it's the play or two plays subsequently after he hit NWA on the first play of the game, the end route. Titans love that route for you know, obviously they've thrown that route plenty of times to AJ Brown, and he's gotten a lot of yak off of that that play. You know, fake it, hit the guy in the middle of the field. So they went with that play because it's an easy throw. You read the defense and you let it rip. It's either there or it's not. Boom, he hits it. And I think it was two plays later, it might have been a deep crossing route. He faked the handoff, and he may have gotten flushed a little bit, but two things happened. One, he didn't trust what he saw. Second, and most importantly, he didn't throw Nick Westbrook Akine open. He threw it to him instead of throwing it further to the sideline and net and allowing Nick to run to the ball to catch the ball. Had he thrown him open, that would have been a catch because it was the right read. He read everything perfectly. There was Nick Westbrook Akine, and I think the safety might have been coming down, or the corner was running with him across the field. It was the perfect read, but now he has to throw him open instead of trying to throw the ball to him. I said that plenty of times about Marcus Mariota. Like, listen, Marcus, you got to throw the guy open in this league. You can't throw it to him or throw it when you think he's open. Throw the guy open and allow him to run and get the ball. That was a situation where I don't think he truly trust what he saw. Had he trust what he saw, he would have threw it further toward the sideline and allowed NWA to go get the ball.
Also, it didn't help. We just talked about Raiden's. The pocket was collapsing.
Exactly.
A lot of the pass plays that they ran, in fairness to him. But what I wanted to see, I thought there were times where he put the head down and decided to run. Sometimes it was successful, but other times, as Mike Vrabel was pointing out, they're coming at you. You don't want to get hurt, but also they're corralling him, right? They're, you know, depending on down and distance, a lot of the runs were not real successful runs, whereas when I slowed it down, I thought there were a lot of checkdowns. So I wrote down, take the checkdown. And I heard him say that, I think, in the press conference after, that they're trying to stress, you know, the little dump-off pass is there for you sometimes.
That's trusting what you see. If you don't see anyone open, trust that your outlet is going, that he's there. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's a checkdown. You know, he's a guy that allows you the ability to get the ball out of your hands and get some yardage without having to run the football. So, again, you go back to, does he really trust what he's seeing on the field? And every young quarterback goes through it. It doesn't matter who you are. Every young quarterback goes to that period where they see it, they know it's there, but they don't quite trust it, you know? Mm-hmm. He has to start trusting that if he sees the guy, throw it to a spot where he can run and get the ball. He had another one to Kyle Phillips on the sideline. If he steps into the throw, right read, but if he steps into the throw, it's a completion for about 15 yards.
Okay, that was the other thing I wrote down. Mechanics. Okay, let's take aside decision-making and quickness, because I think that's definitely something that's going to have to come with time. You know, seeing the game quick, seeing what's going to be there, knowing where everybody is, the presence, the command. But what about simply the mechanics of his throws? I thought there were some throws off the back foot, and he doesn't have a classic smooth release. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't be effective, but I see a little Vince Young sometimes with the sidearm. It's not a classic release with the mechanics. I wonder about accuracy long term. And the throw to Phillips is a good example where I thought it was a little bit not perfect timing, but it was off the back foot and he didn't really finish the throw. Or if he steps into it and really drives it in there, I think he's got it. And that's a tough throw. That's from the near hash to the far sideline, right? On a third and nine. So that's, you know, you got to have a pretty good arm to make that throw.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I saw on that play, because that is a good play, and it shows you, you know, the difference between a young quarterback and a quarterback with a little bit more experience, you know. So I will give you my answer on the other side.
Okay, well, let's come back to that. And we'll also ask the question, where do we think he fits, Malik Willis? Can you see him on Sundays be the backup? Or do they have to have another plan? And where does Logan Woodside fit into this plan? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace back at you here. We're talking Titans, and we'll continue to do so throughout the afternoon. One little note, the Little League World Series in Williamsport right now in a weather delay. The last couple of days, they've had some rain over in Williamsport. We'll see if that affects the start time of the Nolansville team from our area. They are in action this afternoon at 2 o'clock in the winner's bracket. They've done really well so far, but that game's scheduled to start at 2 o'clock. We'll see if they can stay on time. In the meantime, Derek Mason here with you, talking about Malik Willis. We are breaking down his performance on Saturday, what we like, what he needs to work on. And Derek, before the break, we were talking about his mechanics, his release, and what you see there.
Yeah, I still see a guy that is not quite sure with what, you know, again, it goes back to trust. He doesn't trust, you know, what's around him. I don't think he has, you know, a lot of trust that he's going to be able to drop back or get the ball and him have time to throw it. Because there are several occasions where he drops back and he has happy feet. And, you know, you have happy feet. Why? Because it's either, you know, you're just moving too fast, you just need to slow it down, or the offensive line hasn't given you any protection. So you're always looking to run or looking to get outside the pocket because, you know, I only have like a second and a half, 2 seconds to throw the ball, you know. So I can't really get into a rhythm. I can't get into my mechanics. I can't work my mechanics. That may be a part of the problem. But then a lot of young guys, I think, trust their arm a little bit too much. Whereas they figure, you know, we're so used to seeing, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, you know, make these crazy throws where they're just using their arms and there's no, you know, they're not stepping into the throw. But we don't say anything about those guys because those guys have won Super Bowls, been MVPs.
Right.
So they can do it. You know, mm-hmm. there's a different set of rules for those guys. But for Malik Willis, young quarterbacks sometimes, they believe so much in their arm that they lose sight of their mechanics. Again, going back to the Kyle Phillips throw on the sideline. Good read. You know, you were looking at the right person, but you didn't step into the throw. Now, you probably didn't step into the throw because you don't trust what's going on around you. You know, you don't want, you know, somebody to come at you at your lower legs, or you don't want, as I'm stepping into it, a big defensive lineman come and hit me. So he has to understand that, and I believe he will, as he continues to mature in his game, you have to work your mechanics. You have to. There may be a situation where, you know, you can just use your arm and because of the strength of it, you can throw it certain mm-hmm. places, but you're not there yet. You got to work those mechanics and make sure you're following through, stepping through so you can get enough arm strength and enough strength to get the ball, especially if you're on the right side, right hash, and you're trying to throw it all the way back to the left side.
We're holding him to a very high standard because we got him under the microscope, right? We're seeing – it's like when you turn the fluorescent light on and you're in the mirror, right? And you know, maybe you in the dim light, you thought you looked all right. Then all of a sudden in the fluorescent, like, whoa, man. Golly, I didn't see that. I looked terrible.
Hey, Willie, you know, don't tell me you had many of those, man. Don't tell me.
I mean, you know.
I had a few.
You got to self-evaluate every now and then. But, you know, we're really scrutinizing every move he makes. And I think he's handling himself in that atmosphere really, really well. I like his makeup. You can tell he's coachable. He wants to learn. He knows he's got a ways to go. But that being said, we're talking about all of these things he's got to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful he's not the first round pick. A lot of people thought he could be picked in the first round.
Uh-huh.
But as a third round pick, it takes some of the heat off of when he's going to actually get in a game. So that being said, can you put him in as the backup quarterback right now? Even if you're saying, look, it's only for this week, if he had to finish the game, could we put him in there? Or is he just not there yet? because then you could evaluate. You could, for example, let's say you go into a game. Ryan Tannehill plays.
Uh-huh.
He gets banged up in the third quarter. Willis has to come in to finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that game's over, you say, all right, now it's really time to decide who is going to be our starter next week. Is Willis the starter next week, or is Woodside, in a scenario where maybe he's on the practice squad, he's the guy because he maybe has a better understanding of everything, mm-hmm. that would be the better play? Or is option C, we got to be checking the waiver wire. For example, the Vikings just acquired Nick Mullins from the Raiders to be the backup. I mean, there's always Sam Darnold. Who knows? Maybe he'll be released and be out on the street somewhere. I don't know what's out there on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But as I look at Willis's development, I continue to be very underwhelmed with Logan Woodside. Other than, look, he understands what it is he's supposed to be doing there. But I look at his tools and I say, mm-hmm. what does he do well? I don't see much. So they're in a dilemma there. Like, what are they going to do with the backup situation?
Well, Logan Woodside has thrown 3 interceptions in 2 games, okay? He looks, for some reason, looks a little jittery. I don't know why. He knows the offense. You know that. He does give you sort of this up-tempo style of play that you can play with him because he knows the offense. But, you know, there was a few throws in there that you just scratch your head like, dude, you can't make those throws. You're not a rookie anymore. You understand this league. You can't make those throws. And he tried to make them and come up with interceptions. But I don't know, because here's the dilemma that the Titans are in is, you know, Willis, I don't think is ready. If he's the backup quarterback, if Ryan Tannehill goes down week 2, week 3, I don't think Willis is ready to then step in.
Yeah, let's just say for 2 games or 3 games.
I still don't think he's ready to step in.
I don't think so either.
Now you got to make a decision. If he's not ready, and I'm not saying he won't be ready eventually, but if they had to go and say, hey, listen, this is what our situation is. We need our backup quarterback, and we're going to not have Ryan Tannehill for 3 games, and these are critical 3 games. Malik Willis is not our backup. He can't be. He's not ready to be the backup. You're setting this guy up for failure unless you're going to run the ball 40 times and throw it 15 and make it to where it's a 1-read game or a 2-read game for him. Then, yes, you can kind of, you know, you can help him out in that aspect. But defenses are going to force you. If he is the quarterback, defenses are going to force you to do other things. You know, they're going to force you to – he's going to have to be more than a 1-read or a 2-read guy. Because defense mm-hmm. is going to force him to be that. So with that being said, I don't think he's ready. But I don't think Woodside is ready either.
That's the question.
So what do you do as a team? Do you keep all 3 of them? Do you put one of them on the practice squad? Because if you put Willis on the practice squad, somebody's getting him.
Right.
You
so can't that
put
can't happen.
You can't
Willis
put him
has
on the,
to yeah. be on the roster.
Willis is on the active roster. If you put Woodside on the practice squad, I don't think nobody's going out there to get him.
I can't see why you would want you could take him. The only thing they keep falling back on with Woodside is he's been there.
He's been.
Right?
He knows the offense.
They must believe in him to some degree, or else he wouldn't have made it this far. He's
but
been on the roster for a long time.
But with his play, he hasn't shown
I just
that he's
don't
gotten
see
any
anything.
Better.
Yeah, I don't see a strength that you lean on and say, okay, if Woodside's in the game, this is what he does well. And I guess I've always had that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it even more now than I did. Well, so I wonder if they still feel the same way about him as they did last year uh-huh. and the year before.
Well, if they don't believe that Malik Willis is ready to be the backup just yet, I don't think Woodside is capable of being the backup this year if something happens to Ryan Tannehill. Again, just like the tackle situation, I can see the Titans making a move to get a backup quarterback, a veteran guy.
Okay.
Just to have as a backup.
Let's hit that on the other side because I've thought about that.
Mm.
And I don't know all of the ins and outs on how much money they have available, but Logan Woodside, one of the things he has going for him is he's super cheap, right? He's, what, 800 grand or whatever it is. He's just above the league minimum. He's about as low budget a backup quarterback uh-huh. as there is, right?
Yeah.
They just haven't invested in that position, and to their credit, to Tannehill's credit, they haven't needed to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But Malik Willis is there now, so there's a roster spot. There's also the budget you're putting in there for a backup quarterback. How would you create the budget for the backup? Who would that backup be? We'll hit that on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game.